Cool. He's down fast. It's a new day.
It is.
But you're wearing the same shirt.
It's a new day, a new reading, a new story. The Cab Driving Terrier.
Cab Driving Terrier.
By Don Chaney.
Yeah, Don.
Chapter 15.
Thank you.
I was dying for some salt, and just in time, the unstuck rays of the sun cascaded down right in front of me, just escargot centimeters from my right foot, and it was encased in metal. I was also dying to be trampled by ravenous ravens and a dumbass cowboy. "You're such a rat's ass, Mike." I was so sure the cowboy had called my name that I went all Costco. "Carly?" I was game. "Is that your hairy ass, Carly?" "Yes." I was so sly. I knew how to take a nothing day and suddenly make it seem like Peter Fonda rode in on a Harley to shoot the sun out of the sky and into the museum. If there's a podiatrist out there who doesn't now see the blazing rays, I'd like to meet him, her, or they. Distract him. I was so sure she'd listen to me. I'm going to go find Dan Dare, and I've got to rest my dogs. My dentist said I shouldn't distract anyone or anything until the caps on my tonsils dry, Carly said. I paid good money for these caps, so I'd be able to eat pie once again. You're going to have to distract him and defeat him yourself. After she praised God, she passed me the ammunition. I started throwing pies as fast as Carly handed them to me. But Margarine's tunic was impervious. He was even licking the pie off his fingers. Margarine was not going to be easily defeated. That's the last time I looked to God for malevolent advice. I looked into my own eyes, ready to attack myself. Margarine sounded like a tire with a squeaky leak. He looked like an eggplant veggie plate at Rancho's. The purple tunic was purple and getting purpler. And now I was dying for a salt and ham sandwich.
Getting purpler.
The echo in my head told me over and over that I needed to prolong this cautionary tale for at least a few more chapters. The pies were flying fast and furious, and the tension was throwing torque wrenches in every direction. I was tired of the land of the free, and the home of the brave had been converted into giant slums for the poor and playgrounds for the rich. I wanted to let all the air out of all the tires, let all the poor and tired people come together in one big, enormous purple globe. With a perverse resetting of the clocks, 11 became 7 and sucked the air out of everyone except me. The air had been sucked out of me many moons ago, while I'd been playing bocce ball. Now, I'd grown to love bocce ball and to loathe the curveball that I couldn't hit if it had been converted into an extra-large hockey puck. No matter how technically sound my swing was, the vultures would perch on my bat whenever I faced down a curveball. I was a fiery fastball hitter, always ready for the high heater right down the middle. I don't know what I'm talking about. My eyes were little tornadoes that became obscure and aquiline silhouettes, and even the mere suggestion of succubus sauce. The air poured itself into me. Then it cut me up like I was picante sauce. But I wasn't picante sauce. I was preparing to have already been terrorized. I was getting high, marinating my brain like it was calamari. I was batting a big 0-10. The air had a better chance of hitting the ball. It was pretty much batting 9-9-9-er, at least around me, and all I could do was grunt. I could also slip and fall. I tried spitting and grabbing my crotch. Good, I seemed to have that down. I was Irene Cara, if Irene Cara were a dragon, a gigantic dragon that would kick the gigantic ass of that purple tunic's pinhead. Now, for most people, just the idea of some creep carousing around in a purple tunic is enough to, well, it's just enough. I hadn't even mentioned the terrible odor, or the 3 amarillo eyes that stared down at you like a giraffe with a migraine, or the 2 huge tongues that had been dyed black on a recent trip to the dentist in Boca Raton, or the green spittle that continuously ran down his mouth. In other words, the cat's out of the bag, and it's crumbling along like a bald eagle driving a convertible SUV that's running out of gas. But if you passed them on the street, you wouldn't give her a second look. But that first look would look like you had the ace of spades up your sleeve and your hand wasn't able to reach it. The Irene Cara dragon analogy was the closest thing I had to kissing my own ass. Margarine was the closest thing I had to two giant tongues flicking at me from above. It woke me the fuck up from my daydreams, and somehow I found the air that had been stolen from me and exhaled. But the air I expelled was ridden on by rats and smelled putrid. Oh, and the color was horrible. That's when that pest Margarine hissed, and all my pent-up nausea came out at once. The worst part was then he stared me straight in the several eyes. My teeth were no armor, but I smiled anyway, intent on showing the purple people eater that I may be alienated and I may be alkaloid, but I was not amused. I saw enormous dragon mandibles and realized it wasn't me or Irene Cara who turned into a dragon. It was that flake Margarine. And now he's driving a Volvo through the air. I threw salt at him and prepared to have already been beheaded. I pushed and pulled, but my eyes wouldn't come out. I was forced to watch as Dragon Margarine threw flaming churros at everyone. It may have been lame, but my solution was to call out the Spanish Armada. I figured that the Spanish Armada and several well-tossed pies could defeat any gigantic dragon hurling flaming churros. Hey, I was pissed. The flaming churros weren't assaulted. The dragon's air Volvo tooled through the air. I prepared to yell again. That's not right! I could see Carly, her acerbic wit and seamless attire. Dad had always said that he was the brains behind the Museum of Misery and Hysteria, but that Carly was the museum's poor excuse for a doorman. Carly had actually quit her doorman job when Dad wouldn't let her dress up in armor. And actually, it wasn't even a job. It was more of a, let's keep Carly busy and out of my hair. The echo in my head got out, and I punted it at the dragon. I turned and punted and smiled and bowed. The dragon's first reaction was a rude, discordant bellow. Its second reaction was to prepare a bottle of saline solution. Its third reaction was to turn white and preach about how the poor ain't paying their part. The flaming churros were actually related to how gargantuan the dragon Margarine had become. I had to do it. I ordered more pies. More pies, Carly! I was choking on my own hand because I was still getting used to my new head. When I went back to draining the dragon, I couldn't because he was just Margarine now, denatured. The resale value of Barbie as a species was blah, blah, and especially mimosa. My new head was brimming with Baba Cold Goo from the top of my hat right down to my purple tunic. Somehow my new head had adopted Margarine's crispy purple tunic. You bastard! Give me back my tunic! Margarine cut his voice with air, and he cut his teeth with cheese. Long gone was the flying air Volvo. It had been converted, through the magical arts, into a reluctant ace of spades. Margarine grabbed the ace of spades and ate it. Mike, let's play ace. Carly was quite the provocateur. The sack of shit, formerly known as Margarine, had freaking eaten the ace of spades. This was all too much. I looked away, and then quickly looked back, and there was Margarine. And all I could think was, you ate my ace of spades, you medieval dickweed! Margarine sensed my reverie and attacked me. I blocked his bestial blows with my ace of spades. Fortunately, I had the two of spades tracheotomized into my neck 2 years ago. I liked the way it vibrated nicely in the breeze. It was like no other sensation you'll ever have when you're a boy. When you're a boy, the segues that follow are beastly ones, literally. As Margarine swiped at the ace of spades with his large talons. Margarine was intentionally trying to cheat by grabbing the ace of spades up my sleeve. I poured salt as rapidly and as violently as I could. But when Margarine started sneezing, I knew that he couldn't sneeze and breathe at the same time. If I could keep him sneezing and maybe laughing evilly, I could effectively suffocate his ass to death. That, and I knew judo. And Jackie Chan movies. But now, I didn't know one from the other. I get these kind of things mixed up. Like once, I forgot where my eyes were. I knew where my heart was, but I couldn't see my eyes. I was forced to look and read through my hands and to procure goods and services like an alcoholic. I lifted the ace of spades, but someone had moved the two of hearts. And that's when I heard the murmur. The murmur was coming from that movable feast of an asshole. Yeah, you guessed it. Margarine. He lifted his spade of diamonds above his head, and the sky was broken into tiny cinnamon crispas pureed through the fin of an Air Volvo driving dolphin. The resulting purple flames sang techno-pop Crystal Gale songs and continued carrying on like Anna Livia Purabelle toasting mushrooms. Only a miracle could save me from all this shit, or a mausoleum. But there was nothing but shit. Don't look at myself. Don't look at myself, I said repetitiously from the lower western part of my mouth. But still, nothing but shit. The magical stylings of margarine were brilliant, but joyless. However, the stylings were, nonetheless, hypnotizing me. You are not falling asleep now, I told myself. It is not permitted. That was a segue and 9/10. I was 9/10 pussy and 1/10 Nacho Bel Grande. Here I was, about to be killed by a purple tunic fish eater with ergonomically correct mandibles, and all I could think about was trying to stay awake. I sent out a message that started in my brain and worked its way down my cerebellum to my eyes, and finally back up to my brain. Don't fucking fall asleep. The rodents in the corner were doubled over in laughter. Then they attacked my penis. Fucking rodent septuagenarians? No, Mike, whoa! Carly was whining at me again. Her voice was so much like Sid Vicious's. I thought that now the end is near. Don't start that Sid Vicious my way crap again. I wasn't sure if I was coming or Carly was going, but I was sure of one thing, and that was my eyes were open. Or were they closed? All this purple was really disorienting. Was today part of tomorrow? I'm thinking not, but what if I'd never learned to read a book or toke a ball? With all the pent-up energy of a quesadilla, I grabbed the ace of spades from up my sleeve with my bad hand and raised it to the skies with my brazenness. I pointed the card at my boy Margarine. When his crispness finally acknowledged that I was pointing at him, he immediately trumped my ace of spades with the sweet spot of a baseball bat. He started swinging at me from every direction. Every direction, this side of the cinnamon crispa crepatorium. My screams of pain resounded off Boca Raton. I gulped in between blows from the bat and screams from my diaphragm and decided on a new plan of attack. I'd sing! I'd just belt out songs a la Ethel Merman. No! This was one chill motherfucker. He stopped hitting me and started yelling at me. The entire county was stunned into silence as I started singing the hits. There wasn't a single species making a sound. It was creepy. Kind of like when you get on an elevator and the only other person inside the car is some obvious nutcase in a purple tunic. And it's not just that he's wearing a tunic or that it's purple. And it's not the matching purple toupee. And it's not necessarily that his lips look like corrugated pig mess. It is when he sits down and starts coloring himself with crayons and reaching under his tunic, color his purple helmeted warrior. The human feces, also known as margarine, was weakening from the hits hitting him in his ear hole. He tried doing algebra, but he couldn't remember what a numerator and a dominatrix were. So he started studying human evolution. He was like a podiatrist who didn't know when to let go of the foot. For a second, margarine threw into question the whole idea that humans evolved from primates and not from poncy, purple people eaters whose entire purpose was to spit and hiccup. No! No, goddamn punk kids! Why don't you go half-life yourselves? Margarine obviously didn't know brazen agricultural humor from down-home human humor. Carly kept circling me until I was so dizzy I couldn't see. What I needed was a hairbrush and an otter, and then maybe I could comb my way out of this purple-shrouded nightmare that margarine had cucumbered us into. Speaking of margarine, his face was still rank with pie. And despite that, he was also still yelling, "No! No!" That margarine jackass sure didn't know many variations on the classical denial. I guess with his eyes now orbiting the sun, he wasn't up to his usual word mastery. Poo-poos! No, he wasn't. He turned to me with his pie-splattered face torqued into a grotesque expression of pain. a penis is not a podiatrist's best friend. And strange signifiers like purple tunics, cream pies, and playing cards establish the text as something other than a solving the human dilemma machine. And despite all of the large barbed bank accounts transforming us from human to... Sorry, this is a text as solving the human dilemma free zone. Okay, the humidity suddenly extended itself over the text as solving the human dilemma free zone. It ultimately disassembled the text, placing tiny purple hats over each chapter. No! 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 I knew it was Margarine because there wasn't a human being alive with a more limited vocabulary. He was either monosyllabicizing or he was grunting, his grunts being polysyllabic. This can't be happening to me. Not to me! You goddamn punk kids! I'm Margarine, the maggot most likely to turn the world on to the magic of purple. No! No! Margarine's voice was particularly intense and intensely particular. He sure could whine with the best of them. He was an enormous purple baby in a Tijuana tunic. He was as old as piss, but actually younger than gonorrhea. Margarine wasn't the exception to the tool. He was the tool, complete with strange silences that hung in the air like an empty cartoon dialogue bubble. Carly and I didn't want what we couldn't see. We wanted what we couldn't taste, hear, feel, or touch. We could already see our lives as they passed in front of us, complaining about how bored they were. I quickly stopped watching my life and started translating it into the vernacular. The purple pinhead was about to get the shizzle! Margarine had his good points, but he was also almost completely inhuman and inhumane. Or was he? Just when I decided to break out the Gats, the 30s, and the flappers, something happened that was so brutal, so utterly without purpose. Well, I'll just describe it. It was an enormous, pie-drenched, purple casserole. And I emphasize the ass in casserole. Arrgh! Carly had been hit with a psilocybin assault. Salt can't hurt, you dumbass. I figured that Margarine, the purple, salt-throwing casserole, was no longer a threat. I pointed to the exit sign, and he rolled his salty self towards it. His huge purple casserole carapace wasn't able to sustain its viscosity and slowed to a crummel. Beneath its carapace was the creepiest caricature of a casserole this side of tuna and potato chips. It was both repulsive and turning green. You gotta take the charcoal with the Christmas stocking, as my great Aunt Dora used to say. Carly, lend me some charcoal, I said. Antennas of charcoal moved through the air and our eyes moved with them. It was getting ass-kissingly red in my head, and despite all the charcoal antenna and the redness, I knew a rat's ass when I was one. Everything that we once knew as Margarine was now a rat's ass of purple berber.
Carol.
That's brilliant.
Jesus Christ. I'll take a sip with you for that one. Oh my God. Thank you.
Wow.
Man.
Should be an actor, girl.
I don't know how you do that.
I acted in a play when I was in junior high, and I tell you, I was good.
You know, shit like that to rub off of, though.
No, the script wasn't quite at this level. Oh, God. Do you see that play, Don, at Trawick? Willie Velvet, Private Eye?
No.
Did you play Willie Velvet?
Did they make us go?
We performed it only once, like at lunchtime, I think.
Right.
Didn't make it.
You missed it, man. It was
totally great.
The house was rocking, I tell you.
Yeah. I don't know how you write that shit. I don't know how you do that shit.
I know, Don. That was genius.
That's because Gil brought it out.
Ah, yeah. Geez. You really know how to read his shit.
Yeah.
I think if Dad ever gets some sort of publishing deal, we should have you read a whole book.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Books on tape, man.
Books on tape.
Hey, Matt, pity the fool sitting in the traffic jam on the way to work listening to this stuff.
Are you kidding me? Congratulations to the fool. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I was just listing friends in my head that I have to send that to.
Yeah.
Yeah, that definitely.
The Cosmic Vomit one, too.
Has to get.
Anyone that hasn't seen it needs to see that one.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So now it was window shutting.
Ulrich's totally.
Yes.
I would.
Yeah, I'm sorry.